Andrea Griffith knows that she's more likely to be the one to talk in her marriage, so she needs to make sure she's leaving space for her husband.
For me, as more of the talker, I have to learn to sometimes be quiet so he will talk. Choose wisely what you're saying if you are the talker. And I know for us, communication is just finding the time to make it a priority.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walkamuth, co-author of True Woman 101, for Tuesday, July 4th, 2017.
Yesterday, Pastor Trent Griffith began a series from Ephesians 5 for husbands and wives. He laid the groundwork from this passage on husbands loving their wives as Christ loves the church. Now, I understand that Revive Our Hearts is a program for women, but we wanted you to hear his teaching for both wives and husbands. If you're single, understanding a husband's role will help you to know what to look for in a potential spouse. And if you're married, hearing about a husband's role will help you know how to pray for your husband and how to encourage him. And another reason to listen is that today, Trent's wife Andrea will speak to men about what makes a wife feel loved. And I think Andrea's explanation of a wife's needs is an example to all of us of how to respectfully talk with our husbands about important issues. Now, as you listen, you'll need to imagine a green plant up on stage next to Trent and Andrea. In the message we heard yesterday, Trent used that plant as an object lesson of how a husband is to nourish and cherish his wife. Today, we'll pick up where we left off yesterday in Ephesians 5.
Your marriage will either display or distort the glory of God. Do you know what's at stake in your marriage? The gospel being known to the world. Because people are supposed to look at your marriage the way that a husband loves his wife-in-law. Oh, I get it now. You see, that's the way that Christ loves me. But if husbands aren't showing the world love for their wife, they are robbing the world of a picture of Christ loving them. That's what's at stake. It's not just about you and your little marriage. It is about the gospel. And finally, in verse 33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And then a note to wives. Wives, see that she respects her husband. So, husbands, love your wife as you love yourself. There's two word pictures here we need to look at. First of all, he nourishes it, verse 29. He nourishes his wife as Christ, the head, nourishes his body. That means he feeds it. He doesn't starve it. He doesn't keep things from this person that it needs. Husbands, do you know what your wife needs? I've got a great suggestion for you. Why don't you ask someone who knows what your wife needs? Who would that be? Your wife! She knows, and she's probably pretty good at articulating it. But for you to go and say, I want to nourish you, I just need to know what groceries you need. Would you give me some suggestions? And if you think, in just a moment, you're going to have some suggestions, okay? So he nourishes it. And then the second thing is he cherishes it. Isn't that a great word? He cherishes it as a treasure. In studying this passage a few years ago, I found what this word actually means. And it actually means to keep warm. Like a mother would coddle and protect an infant from the cold. At this point, I am totally out of material, and I feel a little bit like a hypocrite telling husbands in here how to love their wives because I'm still trying to figure that out myself. And so we need someone that knows this a little better. And so I've invited my wife to come up here and help us before I step in something up here. Now, we're going to give you five ways that a husband cherishes his wife. And so I'm just going to kind of introduce these things, and then Andrea's going to help us kind of see it from a wife's perspective in a way that maybe I would be clueless to. And so here's the first thing. Five ways a wife feels cherished. Number one, a husband provides security. He gives her security. You know what that means? Men, we need to be men of our word. We need to be trustworthy. We need to be people that say, you know what? No matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, we're not giving up. We're going to the finish line together. Divorce is not an option. Murder, maybe. Not divorce, okay? We are going to the finish line together. You never have to question if there's another woman. I don't have wandering eyes. Porn is not an issue. I want you to feel secure. There is nothing that breeds insecurity into the heart of a wife more than a man who has wandering eyes. We have to provide security.
So lately we've had a way that this security issue has been playing out in our marriage. Just about, I don't know, 3 winters ago, I literally got stuck in 3 different car washes. The first car wash I went through, you choose which one you want, you put your money in, and it washed the car, and then it came time to do the dry, and it says, drive slowly, and it tells you the countdown of how it's going to dry your car. Well, as I was pulling forward, the garage door only opened halfway. Like, it only opened enough till I could get the hood of my car out, but not, like, the windshield and all of the top. And so my heart is like pounding out of my chest because I'm like, I am stuck in this car wash and the car behind me is getting washed and there's a long line and I know they need me to go. And so I'm inching up, the drive time is done. And still this garage door, I can only get the engine of the car underneath it and it will not go up. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm thinking, surely someone is seeing this. They will come. They will help me. No one comes. So eventually, I just crawl onto the hood of my car and lift the garage door up. And I get back in and drive out. And then I got literally stuck in 2 more different car washes that winter. So I have grown to be very insecure when going through a car wash. And what I have noticed, though, is sometimes I will go out to my garage and my car is spotless. And it wasn't spotless before. I was just getting stuff on my pants as I'm putting it in, the car, because it's so dirty. And I put the key in, I crank it up, and I've got a full tank of gas. And someone has taken my car, filled it up with gas, taken it through the car wash. Yes. And that means so much to me because I see in that he knows me. He knows I'm insecure. He knows my weakness, that I can't handle car washes. And that he has gone to the trouble to meet me where I am, to cover that need. Now, men, most of your wives are not insecure about car washes, okay? But I bet that you know some areas in their life where they deal with insecurity. And I bet if you think about it, you could think of some ways that you could go to work to meet those areas of insecurity in her life, to cover it, to encourage, to help her right there. Now, another thing that Trent does that's way bigger than car washes, and I think the biggest thing he does just to help me in this area of security is just every morning I see him in the Word, and I know that if he is following after God, that I can follow behind him. And just in the Word, so that as we're doing life and it's hard and we need wisdom and we need help, we don't have it in us, we don't. But we know where to go to find it. And I see him go in there, and that puts more security in my life than anything else.
What's really amazing to me about what she just said is I didn't have to emote to get the car washed. I didn't have to feel it. I wasn't feeling anything when I was washing the car. And I'm like, that works for you? That's amazing, because I didn't have to feel anything, but that communicated that she was cherished. So security, big deal. Number 2, honor. Honor simply means placing high value on someone or something. For Andrea, it's very important that I give her my attention, that I listen to her, that I value her opinions. I'm a preacher. Occupational hazard is I got some stuff to say. I can be convincing. I like illustrations. I can talk for 45 minutes at a time without taking a breath. And if I try to do that here, that's not going to work. That's not honoring to her. And so I need to value, to understand that God has given me a wife who needs to help me. She sees things differently and she can help me. That is honoring to her.
A few weeks ago, I was talking to a young wife. She's been married 8 years and her husband is an entrepreneur. And so she says a lot of times as he's starting up a new business, I go in and I help him. Like I'll be the receptionist or I'll do whatever he needs on the computer and that type thing. I just come alongside and help. And I've told my husband over and over, it would mean so much to me if when I'm in your office, if you would even just wave or if you would make eye contact or even come over to me and just put your hand on my back so that I know that you know that I'm there. And she said, or at home, I would just love it if you would just say my name. It just means a lot to me when you say my name. But she said, it's been 8 years, none of those things have happened, and I've just kind of died to that. Which is not great in and of itself, but they've recently moved. And they moved into a house where they didn't know it at the time, but their next door neighbor also works at that business. And this next door neighbor always goes to her and says, is that a new dress you're wearing? You look so nice today. Or, wow, did you get your hair cut? And he makes the time to notice her. Now that they're living next door, she pulls up in the driveway and he sees her and knows she has groceries in the car or something. He comes out and helps her with the groceries, asks her about her day. And she said, I know he's just being kind. There's nothing there. I'm committed to my husband. He's committed to his wife. And at this point, she starts sobbing. And she says, but I am shocked at how my heart is so drawn to this man. She said, I keep thinking about him during the week and I hope that he's home when I drive up and the car's full of groceries. Why? Because honor is a powerful tool to draw the heart of your wife to you. Husbands, are you using it? I look at the wives in this church. I see so much beauty and so much strength. I see that they're under the financial pressures, and yet they get up every day and they go work a job. Or they have all these little kids who need them every second, and they're laying down their lives for these kids. Maybe they have grown children who are wayward, and they're praying for them, and it's breaking their hearts, and yet they hang in there in prayer, and they hang in there walking and obeying the Lord. I see all that beauty and all that strength, and I wonder, does their husband see it? Is he calling it out? Is he telling her that he sees that beauty and that strength in her? Because it's a powerful tool to draw the heart of your wife back to you, just to honor, to place high value on your wife.
Okay, dudes, do you know what was happening while she was talking? Dude, I'm watching tears come down the eyes of the ladies because Andrea just honored the wives for the stuff they do. That needs to come from us. We need to give our wives honor. Here's another thing. Understanding. And this is so important. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, one verse to men says this. It says, honor, husbands, honor your wives, dwell with them in an understanding way. That has got to be the hardest verse in the Bible to obey. Men understand our wives. I heard about a boy who was in a geography class. He was 7 years old. He was doing some homework. He came home and he asked his dad, he's like, Dad, I need help with my homework. I just read in my geography book that in some parts of Africa, men don't even know their wives until the day they marry them. Is that true? His dad said, son, that's true in every country. it's like, we're different. Have you noticed that? Very different.
Okay, so men, I totally sympathize with you on this one, okay? This understanding stuff, because half the time I don't understand myself. And then once I figure it out, I change my mind, right? I see it from a totally different perspective. And so, man, I just sympathize with you on this. But it is so important just to understand what we're going through, what we're thinking. And you don't have to get it perfectly, but just an attempt. We're doing a ladies' Bible study right now that I just love. And one of the questions during the first week was, what is your greatest strength and what is your greatest weakness? And I'm sitting there in my Bible study and I'm like, I have no idea. Like, it's just, I'm running the gamut of characteristics and I can't come up with them. And I think, well, I can ask a couple friends. And then I thought, wait, no, I know someone who knows me best and understands me the best. And so 2 days later, we actually found some time to talk. And I just said, what is my greatest strength and what is my greatest weakness? And he nailed it, totally nailed it. They happen to be one thing, both strength and weakness. Totally nailed it. But this is the beauty of it for me. He knows it, and he doesn't try to fix it. We just have to navigate it together. So when a different situation comes in, because he understands me, not fix me, but understands me, then we know how to tackle it and navigate it together.
And this is so hard for husbands because our natural tendency is to fix problems. So when they bring a problem, they want to communicate it, and communicate the problem, she shakes her head when I'm trying to fix it. Like one time, like the dishwasher overflowed or something, and the kids are out of control, and she had a rough conversation on the phone with a friend, and she got misunderstood, and she's telling me all this at the end of the day, and I'm like, all right, come here, let me show you how the dishwasher works. You know, you got to load it this way, and you got to make sure the door's closed and do that thing there. And then if you deal with it, talk to the kids about this and turn it this way and maybe a better time. And did you have a quiet time this day? Because if you pray real hard during the day, the day will go better. That doesn't work. That's a fail. So, and she's like, no. I'm like, why are you shaking your head? She's like, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to understand the way I feel about it. Is that all? I'm like, yeah. I had so much trouble getting this right. Finally, I was reading this book, For Men Only. I think we have it in the Resource Center. It's by Shanti and Jeff Feldhahn. And Jeff was writing, and he said, this is what I learned. I must resist the temptation to want to fix it. When there is a problem, she needs to express it verbally. What she is feeling about the problem is more important than the problem itself. What she is feeling is the real problem. Therefore, listening to her feelings actually fixes the problem. Instead of filtering out her emotions to focus on the problem, I must learn to filter out the problem and focus on the feelings. After she feels like I understood her feelings, now she's ready to solve the problem. I'm like, I cut and pasted that. I hung that up in my office. I'm like, I got to figure this out. So that is a new concept for men because we want to fix it. And women feel cherished when we communicate. Now, the average woman, studies have shown, speak 25,000 words a day with gust up to 35,000 on certain days. Men, on the other hand, only communicate about 15,000 words. And so there's a gap there, and we have to learn to communicate at a different level.
So in our marriage, I'm definitely more the talker, and he's definitely more the quiet one, and he has used up his 15,000 words after 3 services on Sunday. Just trust me on that one. So what I've kind of seen is that we each have a bent. Like, we're either more talkative or we're more quiet, and we need to figure out which way our bent is and then move toward the middle. And so sometimes I'll be listening to wives talk about their husbands, and it just breaks my heart because I think, if only the men knew the damage they were doing to their marriage simply by not talking, just being silent. Because that's how we learn you. That's how we know what's going on in your heart, in your life, in your brain. That's how we know to encourage you or come alongside or how to relate to you. And if you're not talking, we're just kind of stuck. And we don't know where to go with it or how to move it. Also, for me, as more of the talker, I have to learn to sometimes be quiet so he will talk. And the Lord has just been asking me, Andrea, when you are talking, are your words wise? Are they building up? do you even hear what you're saying? Or is it just like cats that you're trying to herd and you don't even know where it's going? You know, when you talk, choose wisely what you're saying if you are the talker. And I know for us, communication is just finding the time to make it a priority. Everything else in life is so busy, but communication has got to be a priority or everything else goes spinning out of whack.
Five ways a wife feels cherished: security, honor, understanding, communication, and physical affection. I read a study one time that said the average woman needs between 8 and 12 non-sexual touches every day. Now, some of your men are thinking, I can take care of that right now. That's not what we're saying, okay? It is so important, and Andrea read some stuff recently that confirms that.
As we were talking through the message just a little bit last night, Trent was like, and we'll get to physical affection, and we can just race right past that. And I'm like, no, you can't. You cannot race right past that. Because physical affection means more and affects women more than men. Research has shown this to be true, okay? So when it's just like a nice rub on the back or grab my hand or something like that, it releases in women and men too, but more so in women, oxytocin, which is the bonding chemical, okay? And so when that happens for a woman, I'm drawn to you. I can relate to you as my husband. It's been shown that non-sexual physical touch also releases emotionally positive brain chemicals. It lowers a woman's heart rate. It lowers her stress level. And it decreases feelings of loneliness just by grabbing her hand or rubbing her back. It's something.
I thought I had to feel something to fix all that.
No, just act like you do.
Okay. Then act like it, right? Okay. One more thing real quick. Now, if you are not already holding your wife's hand or have your arm around her, this would be the time to do that. And this is what I want us to do. I want us to all stand right now. I'm going to give you the last point as we stand together. Husbands, hold your wife's hand. And here's the last thing. Husbands, love your wife as you love yourself. He nourishes her. He cherishes her. He inspires her. Do you remember how hard her job is to submit to somebody like you? Well, here's the thing. When a husband does his job right, her job gets easier because a husband's love inspires a wife's respect.
That's Pastor Trent Griffith from Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. We also heard today from his wife, Andrea. Trent and Andrea have been good friends of mine for a long time, and I'm so thankful for how they've been showing us that our marriages aren't just about us, but they're designed to put the beauty of the gospel on display. And I'll add this, if you're an unmarried woman, your life and your relationships aren't just about you. Your devotion to Christ and the way you faithfully wait on God's timing and His plan also puts the beauty of the gospel on display just as powerfully. Now, if you're intrigued by what you've heard today, I want to encourage you to explore the archives at reviveourhearts.com. You'll find some additional series to help you grow in the areas that we've touched on today. One of those series is called Love and Respect by Emerson Eggerich. And another is For Women Only with Shanti Feldhahn. There's a rich reservoir of material for you to enjoy at reviveourhearts.com. And it's all made possible by listeners like you who believe in this ministry and want to see it continue. When you donate any amount to support Revive Our Hearts this week, we'd like to send you a workbook that I co-authored with Mary Cassian. It's called True Woman 101, Divine Design. It'll help you discover new ways to put the beauty of the gospel on display and embrace God's calling for your life.
Thanks, Nancy. To get your copy, visit reviveourhearts.com. You can make your donation there, and you'll find a place to request the book as part of the process. Again, that's reviveourhearts.com. Or ask for True Woman 101 when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Tomorrow, Trent and Andrea Griffith will be back to show us as wives effective ways to encourage and respect our husbands. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth wants your marriage to experience some fireworks. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.